There's not much difference between an actor and a politician. I mean, at least in the terms of like playing the character.
Oh, I think the best politicians, well, I think there are politicians who are much better actors than any actor.
Yeah.
Who would you say is a politician that's just a terrific actor?
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I think he's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Not saying that they're insincere.
Right.
But, you know, it's all the small talk. The small talk alone, I think they should get an acting award.
Yeah. And also, there has to be that inherent desire. And I don't know how much you have of this, Lisa, but, you know, that desire to be liked and to sort of give up any core principle that you may have or any sense of morality in order to be liked by a huge population.
No, or just the unwillingness to divulge any personal opinions that might not be okay with other people.
Yeah. It is. It's playing the character. How can you not? Like, we see it. It's like from state to state to state. Now. It's like, what character are you going to be now?
But they do. They do. They get a little more southern.
Uh-huh.
Right? They start to, I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
You're from Connecticut. How'd that happen? Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, tonight on this rainy evening in Los Angeles, I am so happy to welcome Lisa and Jessica to my podcast that Sim and I started.
Wait, what are their last names?
Lisa Kudrow and, oh my God, Jessica Cabot.
That's
hey,
right.
Look at that. Look at what I did.
You just did it right.
And Sim reminded me like four times. Look, here's my information sheet.
Mm-hmm. Very extensive
in my
information
defense,
sheet.
I'm not very smart.
I wrote two lines.
And I also have to store a lot of lines in my brain.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, you know the multicam. We're on our third season of Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm still, I feel like I have so much to learn.
You do. Oh, no, I meant lines. You do.
Oh, yes.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, you do. I've seen the show. No, you do have a lot of lines. You're
I
half
do,
the show. I was a sixth.
But, you know, and I want to maybe talk to you at length. That's maybe we can talk about now or later or whatever. But there's been some, I've had some revelations about this format with the multicam world that, in the best way I can
explain what the multicam world is to everyone first.
Well,
what does multicam mean exactly?
So it means, you know, my show Mom and Lisa's sort of well known show, Friends, it's filmed in front of a live audience with 4 to 5 cameras. So, and you, on our show, sometimes we'll do a 5-page scene. It's a little more theatrical. And there's a feeling, and it's very, very precise, which is something that's really surprised me, too. Not just in terms of blocking, but sort of the puzzle that's unraveled as the week goes on. Like, oh, okay, I need to start learning how to work with this prop. Mm-hmm. Or like, why the hell are they having me cross to that fridge just because they want movement? Shouldn't I be doing something for a reason? Like,
that was always the hardest part for me, motivating. Oh, we need someone to get up and go do something. Like, well, Joey's not in the scene, so no one's going to get some food.
And Allison Janney, my beloved co-star, I'm crazy about her. She just loves to sit down. So she'll be like, when we start blocking a scene early on in the week, she will establish herself with a couch. So then I'm left like running around, like
buzzing
around the mail
her.
And like whatever, cleaning the thing. But I also, the best way I feel like I can describe it in some ways is that it's such a deceptively difficult format, and it's in a weird way, there's no place to hide. And I don't know if you ever felt that way, like there's no, and it's not just because you're shooting in front of a live audience. It's because you are sort of required to commit to a joke fully, even if you're not crazy about it sometimes. Even though I think we have brilliant writing or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you do. Yeah.
You can't half-ass it at
right.
all. And also just sort of the, you really, it's more athletic, not just in terms of like the physicality stuff of literally like running around all day long, but also because it's like you are playing catch with all of your castmates. In the single camera world, you don't necessarily, I love doing that. I love that about the job, that it feels like we're a baseball team and now mm-hmm. someone is up to bat. But it has to be a true, truly cooperative experience. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know a lot more about this than I do, but did you find that?
Yeah, I definitely did. And especially the line thing, because for some reason the audience seems to think that you came up with everything you're saying. It feels like they're holding you completely responsible for, you know, like, why you thought that was a good joke? The line in the script. But the writers, you know, if it doesn't work, they rewrite it. So, you know, you can start to just settle into, you know, even if it's not your sense of humor, you know, but it works for the show and the mm-hmm. audience still likes it, or it doesn't even work for the show and then they'll rewrite it.
Yeah, no, we're really lucky that we have brilliant writers and I love our show, but I feel embarrassed that I didn't have the amount of respect for people who excel in this format before.
It's definitely a different, it's a different acting energy, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not stage, mm-hmm. you know, you really are. I mean, I don't know. There are, you know, a couple hundred, 400 people in the audience, but this is something that's going to be broadcast on television. So it really isn't meant for an audience. And yet there, you have to like go somewhere in between with the mm-hmm. performance energy level, right?
Yeah.
People would be, you know, guest stars on our show, but you were fine. I mean, you
oh god, that's
perfectly
really
fine.
I remember
didn't seem struggling or troubled or nervous, and you were fantastic.
For our listeners out there, I did three episodes of
that's it
three or four of episodes
final during, season right
the final season yeah. And all I remember is just terror.
Oh,
just,
no,
like,
really?
Like, IBS, just. But I was so honored to be a part. I mean, it was like, I mean, it was just so huge to be a part of the,
Well, we were so distracted, too. We probably.
Well, there was a lot of emotions happening.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there was a time, and I don't know if my memory is fully accurate on this, but I think there was a time, like second to last episode, there was a group hug and I was sort of standing nearby, and I think David sort of kind of brought me in, but I was like, no, I can't be a part of the cast group hug. Like, wait, no, I can't. No, I shouldn't. She's should like, okay, well, okay. I just quick pat on the back and then I'll get out of here. But no, it was
what
really
a nightmare.
No. It was thrilling. And everyone was so lovely to me, but because, you know, it had obviously made such a cultural impact. It was the most surreal experience.
Yeah, It must have been so weird. I just remember thinking, man, she's really good.
Oh, my God.
She's really good.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember feeling that, but I did give birth to twins that mm-hmm. I didn't know about.
Well, your character gave birth to, you were a surrogate, right? That was your character.
I wasn't a surrogate. I was
the birth mom.
The adoptive. I was giving my baby up for adoption.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
To Monica and Chandler. And as I'm giving birth, we realize that there's twins.
I know. How did that happen? I don't remember.
The joke was something like, I say something like, well, the doctor said there were two heartbeats, but I just thought he meant one was me.
Oh, okay.
But Monica and Chandler got twins, which I actually wouldn't. I'm not sure I would. Wish on.
I know.
Okay.
Exactly. It's supposed to be great. Well, and it is great for those of you, but hopefully
who
you're
have
too
twins.
Young and you don't have twins.
We have a new segment that we're doing for you
oh.
that Sim came up with. Normally we have, we do a segment called Rapid Fire, where we ask our guests, obviously, serious questions, rapid fire.
And, but you know, I'm slow, so it's been modified.
It's really funny you say that, because Sim came up with the not so rapid fire segment.
Oh, good.
With Lisa.
Yeah, that's really clever writing. Not so rapid fire.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's not because I didn't mean that you were, I don't think you're slow at all.
And
we just wanted to hear more detailed answers.
Yes. And Jessica, wait, will you come say hi too? And here, but wait, you might have to speak closer. I know it's a weird feeling. Isn't it weird?
Yeah,
it's so deceptively intimate. And then it's out there. It's terrifying.
What do you mean out there? We're just sitting here around the table.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here is the not so rapid fire question series for both of y'all.
Oh.
If you had to work on a cruise ship, what would your job be? You have to. You will have to work on a cruise ship.
A maid.
Okay,
really?
You're going to be cleaning the.
Yeah, it's making beds and wiping counters.
There are so many cabins on a cruise ship.
Well, I don't think I'd be the only one.
Right, but you.
I think I'd be part of a staff. But do you understand what I'm going for? I wouldn't have to talk to anybody.
See, I knew this. We were gambling about this earlier.
Okay. You were right. I predicted that you would have said something like cruise director.
No.
Or entertainer.
And I'm like, no, she's not going to want to talk to anybody. She's going to want to be like in the galley. Like, yeah, I totally get it.
The galley would be better because at least you can talk to the other people that you work with. And maybe you're just alone. Maybe that's what I was going for. It's almost being in a padded cell, which sometimes I feel like that would be great.
There's a question about
okay,
a
yeah, we're,
get,
we're getting,
up,
we're getting, actually, you are way ahead of us. Okay. All right, Jessica, do you have?
Oh, I'd probably want to be the stand up comedian on the ship.
I love it.
So
fantastic.
That'd be really funny and great.
Of course you would. Of course you would. Would you have a tip jar that you could pass
around?
Yeah,
that's probably actually my calling. So I'll go do that after this. Apply.
I hope you do like one of the foreign ones that like, so you have lots of like non-English speaking.
Oh yeah, I'd kill
members.
People who didn't speak English.
You should do that. You should try to do that.
Oh, thank you.
That would be a great experience.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, that's my goal.
Okay, would you consider yourself a hoarder? If so, what would you hoard? What do you hoard?
Well, I mean, I think there's a fine line between never throwing things away.
Ah, defensive hoarder.
And being a hoarder, yeah. I have trouble throwing things away. Mm-hmm. Because to me, everything's a potential document.
Mm-hmm. I have trouble throwing things away because I don't want to leave my house. So I'm like, oh, I can't run out for paper clips one day.
Like, oh, interesting.
Like, I can't, like, what if I have to go? I'm going to need this, like, I don't know, this surgical tape, even though I have four other rolls. Because what if one day I run out and then I have to go out for surgical tape? Ugh.
That's funny. I do that with paper clips. When something arrives with a paper clip and I don't need it anymore, I have a jar
and
of paper clips.
What the hell are you going to do with paper clips? Nobody, like, really, like, what do we do with paper clips anymore?
I do use paper clips, but I also can afford a little box of paper clips. And yet, it feels, you know, how wasteful.
Yeah. 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 I'm a hoarder and incredibly wasteful at the same time.
But papers, stacks of papers everywhere.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jessica, do you hoard anything?
Oh, yeah. I think papers, but like sentimental things, like old birthday cards or Christmas. Like I think like.
I do that too.
I'll, you know, lose a family member if I, like, I'll never have that memory back if I get rid of the card.
Do you guys. I have like a drawer. I have a secret hiding place that only one person knows about that contains sort of my naughty things. And I, in case I pass away,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you have to clear this out before my parents.
So Chris knows where it is.
No, I'm not telling Chris. He just sees the naughty things sometimes, Sam, okay? But I don't tell him where I hide them. Okay.
You have to tell someone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. One person knows.
Okay. You're not going to tell us who it is.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's not you, right?
I know it's not me.
Wouldn't it be funny if it were me?
That would be really funny.
We haven't seen each other since 2004.
But you would do that for me, right? You would just make sure everything's...
I mean, if just... I can get over here. If it's convenient. Yeah, I would.
Thank you. Okay. Next question. You've been falsely accused of a crime.
Oh, God.
You've been put in solitary confinement.
Oh, well.
Because you've been misbehaving. Because you're angry.
Oh.
Your lawyer insisted that they give you one song to play on repeat that you get to choose. What is that song?
That's a good question. That song would change, though.
Well, you just get the one.
You just get one?
You just get the one. He fought. He had to fight hard for this. You might get some juices every once in a while.
Oh, I guess it would have to be that Cat Stevens song. Oh, you know, if you want to sing out.
That's a great song.
Yeah. That's a great choice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that would help you just be happy in your head.
Get through the day.
Yeah.
And that's that. You know what? I thought that was going to be a real stumper. But I think you came up with a great answer.
Thank you.
Jessica, do you have an answer?
Oh, it's a song on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
you get to choose.
Oh, sure. I think Philip Glass, The Light. It's like a classic.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Jessica, Philip Glass. But, no, I'm just kidding. I love
it. It would make me feel like I was in a movie. Like,
no, that actually might kind of keep you a little more sane. Yeah.
What would you have?
I was going to say Philip Glass, too. No, I don't know. I don't know.
It's hard.
It's a tough one.
Because you get sick of everything.
You get sick of
over and over.
I have a song that I listen to almost every day.
What is it?
It's really embarrassing. I don't know why I'm about to say this.
Come on.
It's a song by Ice Cube called Put Your Back Into It. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Don't stop, get it.
I don't
know. Do you listen to it in your car?
I listen to my car. I listen to it when I'm showering. It's almost every single day. You don't know the song?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, you really don't know?
It's a motivating
song.
All right.
All right. We're going to work on this, though.
Yes.
Because
please.
That's probably why you come over and you're all like crazed out. You're like, we got to get going. Podcast.
It's true.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Your beloved great-grandmother has passed, and she is bequeathed to you your choice of either a nocturnal pet sloth or her indoor flamingo. These are pets that she has loved dearly.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you choose and why? And you have to make a choice.
All right, the first thing is it's a beloved great-grandmother.
Yes.
Okay, so first I have to pretend that.
Yeah.
And then I have to pretend that they...
She's like...
I care. I care. Mm-hmm. About this person.
You love this person and you have to take one of these animals, nocturnal pet sloth or indoor flamingo.
The flamingo? I don't know. I don't know enough about those animals and how they poop.
You have to pick one.
Well, it depends on how they...
They're not potty trained, but your great-grandmother has sort of devised a diaper system for both animals. Customized flamingo diapers.
I think
diapers.
Because of, I don't know how attached a sloth or a flamingo is to people.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they are. And so my great-grandmother won't know
No. You got to make a choice. Flamingo or sloth?
Sloth.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jessica?
Oh, yeah. Sloth.
Easy peasy?
It's easy, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know a lot about
sloths?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love sloths.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. That was just a wild guess.
I feel like a sloth sometimes.
Me too.
They are pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. What?
They reach out very slowly for things.
Is that what you would pick?
No, I would go with flamingo. Because you know, I could build an indoor fountain and, you know...
Just keep it there.
I've got tons of help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I actually, they're both awful choices. Okay, now we are on to the multiple choice section.
Okay.
If you came with a warning label, Would it say A, do not operate heavy machinery, B, do not have intercourse within 4 hours of taking this medication, or C, severe internal injuries can occur if water is forced into body cavities as a result of being near a jet thrust nozzle?
What am I?
You are a warning label.
I'm a warning label. Jessica?
It's a tough one. It's a ridiculous. It's tough. It's tough.
I don't remember. Sorry, everyone. Can you read them again?
Read the choices.
Okay. Do not operate heavy machinery.
That's a good one.
Do not have intercourse within 4 hours of taking this medication. Or C, severe internal injuries can occur if water is forced into body cavities as a result of being near a jet thrust nozzle.
I think the first one.
Do not operate heavy
machinery. Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to assign you to tractor detail or like... I'm not going to have you excavate
right.
home.
That would be good. Don't have me do that.
What was that last one?
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's severe. That one sounded like...
It sounds like if people force water into some of your cavities, it might be trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not made up. That's actually real. We found it on the internet.
Oh, from what?
Real?
Yeah.
In which sense? What do you mean?
I mean,
we just looked up
warning
label. What was the warning label for?
I don't know.
I went on Google Images. I didn't do much research on this.
For people? For human beings?
No.
Like human beings that shouldn't be near a jet?
Right. I think. I don't know.
All right.
I just thought it sounded funny, but...
jet. I don't even know what a jet thrust nozzle is.
Oh, well, you know, like a handheld shower or like a spa jet, water jet.
Okay.
Is that
so it was maybe like a enema or kind of a medication label.
Or is it a sex toy that I don't, once again, I don't know about.
I have to go back and search it again. I have no idea.
I want to know how many sex toys you know about.
That's not a question. That's something that you just came up with.
No, I'm trying to think. Do I know of any? Two?
Two.
I'm
kind of
really
with you on that.
I don't.
I sort of got like, I'm behind. I got to get caught up.
You're behind.
I'm behind. I know. See, that's how behind I am. I don't even understand that was like a sexual thing. People think I'm wittier than I am because I constantly do shit like that. Anyway. Okay.
No, but it would be funny if like Anna Ferris. No, she's great, except God, I just wish she knew more sex toys. To me, that's her only flaw.
That would be so wonderful if that was my only flaw. But I think some people might consider that. Okay. Oh, kind of a big flaw. All right. All right. So last question. And this is for you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You've won many awards, including an Emmy and 2 SAG Awards.
Oh, good for me.
Which is the better murder weapon and why?
Well, the Emmy is really dangerous.
I know, but that SAG is heavy. I haven't won one, but I held one once.
But, I mean, the Emmy is heavy, but it's got 2 sharp wings.
I know, so you could really stab
somebody. It's a lot of damage. I mean, you could really hurt someone's head with an Emmy.
Yeah. I feel like if you're going for the head, you use the SAG. If you're going for the chest and like internal organ damage, you go for the Emmy. Right?
Go for the chest or would you go for the head?
Well, I think you'd have to come around with the Emmy and go for the neck.
Ah.
Oh.
Right?
But it's...
that I think about it. With a slashing motion, a downward slashing motion, you know. On my left, their right side.
I can see that.
Isn't that where the jugular is? Or it's on the... Yeah, it's on the... No, their left, my right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, okay. I wasn't thinking about the neck. All right. You might win. You might win this one.
Oh, my gosh. What do I win? A machete.
Wait, hang on. I do.
Are you really going to get an award right now? You're getting up to go get an award?
I'm getting up.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, she's...
I'm sorry, Jessica.
Oh, no.
No, but I mean...
Yeah, Jessica,
what?
I'm sorry, you don't get an award.
I don't have any award. No, I can't kill anyone. Yeah.
But you're going to go on a cruise ship soon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And do stand-up for foreigners.
Yeah.
And, she really...
Make them feel better about the disease they caught on the ship.
Here you go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. The 22nd Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Baseball cap.
Baseball cap. Enter green.
Thank you.
I put it on. It won't fit. I've got the headphones on otherwise.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here and thank you for winning.
I don't know.
Am I being too impatient?
No, Sim, you
bored?
Never are.
Are you maybe bored?
No, I'm not bored
okay.
at all.
Okay.
Sim's, one of Sim's not so strong suits.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
Maybe get that song out of your head.
He also,
and then you can relax a little.
I can't, Lisa,
terrible.
I can't. Oh, this is better. Are you on, you're not on speakerphone, are you?
Yes, but I could remove it really quick.
Yeah, okay. She's driving.
How
she can't.
That
you're not
is
allowed.
Oh my gosh, so
you
much better, Nicole.
Can
you mind?
Can you pull over? Or
yeah, we want you to be safe though.
Yeah, but can you pull over and?
Yeah. I just pulled over in this neighborhood somewhere in Burbank.
Okay. Yes.
Come on,
I don't know if you grew up here, Nicole, but isn't it crazy how people drive in the rain here?
Yeah.
Is she singing? What is she doing? Oh. Nicole, how are you?
Okay. Yes.
Nicole,
I'm
hi.
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Guess who's here with us?
Hi.
Well, you won't be able to guess, but you know Anna is here, but Lisa Kudrow is also here.
Hi.
And so is Jessica Cabot.
No yes. way! That's awesome.
And Jessica wrote a.
Yeah. Hi guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks
Nicole.
For being patient with us and pulling over and everything, and for calling in and submitting a question.
I was looking forward to this, so it's totally cool.
I'm so glad.
So, Nicole, you fell head over heels in love with the musician in New York.
Oh, boy.
And exactly. Fans of the podcast know how Anna feels about dating musicians. And for a while, this guy made you feel really special, and then something happened. Nicole, tell us what happened.
I try to tread cautiously with musicians, but I thought this guy would be the exception. He said that maybe it's best if we stayed as friends, and I really didn't want to lose that that connection that I had with him, so I decided to go ahead with it. Things were progressing really well. I was also flying over to New York City due to my job, but as time passed by, he seemed a little bit distant, and we still stayed in touch. I mean, I built the guy a cigar box guitar for his birthday.
Wow. Oh, Nicole, I love you.
I saw a picture of it. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, really?
I'll pass the picture
You're a good
around.
Friend.
Okay. Nicole.
I'm a goof. It's
oh, wow.
An electric cigar box.
Oh, my God. It is really cool.
Can I see? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're passing the photo around.
That's very
it
cool.
It is amazing. So, okay. So,
that's okay.
and then what happened after you gave it to him?
He was generally in shock. Like, he didn't know what to say. And I think that started to stir a lot of guilt in him. And he felt like shit about it because he realized that my feelings were far more, I would say, stronger than his were. And he definitely said, like, you're one of the most important people that I have in my life right now. I really appreciate you, da 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 da. But I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to hurt you. And again, I was like, oh, no, it's so cool. I'm okay with us just being friends, da 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 da. He was under the impression that I was aces with it. Then a couple of months or so later, while I was in New York, I actually got appendicitis and I ended up in the hospital.
Oh, no.
And none of my friends or relatives were able to come and see me before
that's
surgery.
Such a lonely
but the
feeling.
Only person that showed up was him.
That's
and
nice.
I had subdued my feelings a little bit, but while he was there with me, it rekindled all those emotions again. The guy was there for me, and he was like in touch with my parents, letting them know how things were progressing, But then when I got better, a couple of weeks later, he invited me to one of his shows, and I saw him talking to this other girl, and the way that he spoke to her and his eyes lit up, it gutted me. It felt so shitty. And then I realized, okay, I can't continue to do the I'm cool with just being friends thing. I don't know if I should just hide in the shadows and let this go away, or just be upfront with him and tell him, listen, I still have really strong feelings for you. I don't know what to do. So yeah, that's where I stand right now. Not a fun place to be.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What do you guys think? Because it sounds like he's not a jerk.
Yeah, he sounds like a decent person.
Yeah.
That just doesn't have the same feelings you do. And that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll find someone else.
But should stay friends with him?
No.
She shouldn't, right?
Well, not if it's going to make her feel bad every time she sees him with someone else. This is all up to you.
Yeah.
You know, take care of yourself. So.
And I don't think you should confess your feelings, because I think that you kind of let it slowly sort of teeter out a little bit, because who knows what could happen. He could, you know, in a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever, miss you a lot and you guys maybe rekindle things. I don't want to necessarily stoke that hope in you or anything, but I don't think that, I think that if you say, if you reiterate your feelings to him, he will once again say something like, I can't do this and maybe we can't even be friends, or something like that, or something that's potentially
going to hurt her feelings.
Yeah. And I don't want you to have your feelings hurt. I don't know. Jessica, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, I've been in not the same situation, but similar situations. And so I wrote a web series about it, and that's why, actually.
It's really good. Nicole, you have to check out this web series. We are going
to
talk about
it. I'm trying to pitch my web series to you while you're going through something, but just to say, like, I can relate. One of my ex-boyfriends, I gave him, like, an annual Disneyland pass for his birthday or something. And
that's a great gift.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can relate to the idea of, like, really caring about someone and kind of maybe over-giving, in a sense, like, giving them more than they can possibly give back, or that they... And I think for me, like, the lesson in that is just, like, that you're, like, in that you give, like, really awesome gifts, like, you're a really caring person, and, like, all of those, like, good things are a reflection on you and, like, the quality of the kind of person you are. And, like, that's the kind of love that you have to give to someone.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, if the other person can't give it back, then it's, like, the first step, I think, is to kind of funnel that energy that you have to give to others back into yourself. And then I think the right personal comment.
Absolutely.
I mean, so that's sort of cheesy, but.
No, it's not cheesy. It's just a true.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it takes
and
a lot.
You're not alone, Nicole. I mean, I've spent most of my life, this is a story of so many.
Oh, yeah.
All of us, men and women. It started in third grade, buying ice cream every single day for Ryan.
Oh.
Who never really liked me back, but I spent my mom, like, the ice cream money that my mom gave me every single day on the weird, do you remember, like, I don't know, ice milk pops? It wasn't even like ice cream that they sold. It was like frozen milk covered in a thin layer of chocolate. Anyway. Oh,
sounds good.
Well, I bought that for him every day because
Did he appreciate the ice milk pops?
Oh, yeah, but he was also like, I'm going out with Lynette.
Yeah, that's on you.
It's on me.
If you want to buy him ice cream every day.
Right. Yeah. And that theme has carried with me for a long time in my life, probably until I was at least, you know, till I was 30, I think.
But Nicole, did you make the phenomenal gift of the cigar box guitar in the hopes that it would make him feel differently about you? I mean, I think anyone gets into trouble when you're hoping that you can alter someone's thinking or feelings, and I think really all you can do is be responsible for your own.
Yeah.
And it's never wrong, I say, to love someone, like Jessica was saying, and however you express it in a healthy, legal way is good.
But don't you think, too, and this is part of a longer conversation that we talk about on our podcast a little bit, is I hate the term sort of playing games, but I do think my mom like would always tell me to be selfish in love, and I never understood what that meant, and for a really long time. But what I think she was really saying was, you have to make sure that a man comes to you, the proper man, the right man, will come to you, and then you know, like there's definitely has to be a 50-50, if not 60-40, or somewhere in that 60-40 balance, hopefully hovering around 50-50, in a healthy relationship. And sometimes that means, like, you know, if a guy says he's going to be over in a half an hour and doesn't show up for 2 hours, you're like, I'm out of here. I'm not waiting for you.
Right.
And it sucks, even though you want to be with him that night. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It's painful. But you sometimes it's like you have to demand the kind of behavior and love that you want, I guess. Right?
Right.
I'm so fucking smart.
Yeah. But yeah.
No, but you know what I mean, Nicole, and it's the hardest thing to do because it's like it's almost like working out.
But listen, you know, guys have done the same thing. I mean, guys sometimes will go overboard, mm-hmm. and then what happens is it freaks them out. They're like, why are you buying me these gifts? Why are you taking me all these nice restaurants? Why? I mean, especially if a guy is sometimes when they're just, you know, the guys have to do the exact same thing sometimes. They don't want to come across as overdoing it because they don't want to scare them off, and it works the same exact way.
Right.
But I do genuinely believe that he really likes you. He truly values your friendship. And I know it's going to be hard to remove him from your life because you obviously care about him, not just as someone that you dated, but because, you know, he is a genuinely nice person and he cares about you.
So
it's going to be tough to remove him. It's going to be really hard to remove him.
But do you have to? Why can't you just be friends with him?
Lisa, you told her to get rid of him.
If he makes her feel bad. But if she cannot feel bad, I mean...
I probably should, but if she can be
what? I'm old. I can't hear things anymore. But I mean, I think it's also possible though to, if you can just adjust your expectations with him, then you can be friends with him. If you're not constantly reading into everything he says, oh, is that a sign that he likes? Why don't you just decide he's not interested romantically?
Yeah.
And that's just a fact in your head. You get over that. And then do you really want to be friends with him still? And if you do, then go ahead. And there is someone else for you, by the way.
And I would like try to limit your like texting, like every time you feel the urge to text him, do it like one out of every 6 or 7 times.
I will say that I'm pretty disciplined in that department. I don't like to.
If when I was in your shoes with it, stuff like this, I was like, I've never had any kind of clarity like you have. It's really impressive.
Yeah. I agree.
But I wouldn't force his hand by saying, like, we can't be friends. I would just continue down a steady path and just be like, I know that we're not lovers now, but I want you in my life. And I know that it's going to be sort of a different capacity. We live on different coasts. Whatever, but
I'm going to disagree with everyone here in the
Wow.
And say
nice.
What?
And say
move
that
to New York.
And say that
move to New York.
Start a small business making guitars.
I feel like if he continues to be in her life as a friend, then that won't open her up to meeting new men because she'll constantly be thinking about him.
Well, that's why I said if you can make the adjustment,
right, like a slow
in your
drift,
head, just be friends with him.
I'm on the slow drift.
Yeah,
that's what slow
like,
drift means.
Okay,
yeah.
But eventually, I think that he should be removed from her life.
Well, I think there's like kind of a balance between, like you. I've had similar situations where I liked someone and it wasn't working out and we were going to break up, but I wanted them to stay friends. And I think there's like a value in taking time out for yourself and kind of like not communicating with that person for a period of time. But then you can let that person back in your life when you have the strength, and kind of what Lisa was saying.
Yeah.
Like about having the adjustment.
Yeah.
Like make the adjustment first and then you can go back to it.
I have another idea.
What?
We hire a male model. Who Nicole and this model fly to New York. He is a, he pretends to be a big time band agent. Like a, he signs huge bands.
Oh, right. I forgot the guy was a musician.
Yeah.
What are we fixing here?
We're fixing up a sweet romantic comedy, Lisa, that we're going to start.
Where I play your mother.
No way.
We turn the conversation into you and I. We're actresses.
All we have to do is we just got to get this guy. We'll make him jealous. We'll think that his band and his career is going to be huge. And then we say, surprise, but you really loved me all along, didn't you?
It's a revenge romantic comedy.
Nicole, listen, thank you.
And I think I say date here. Start
thank
dating
you
here. It's
so
the
much.
Practical advice.
Yeah, you're okay. You've got talents. You can make cigar guitars.
I gotta tell you, that
do
is awesome. We're
gonna
put it on our podcast website so our viewers can check it out if you don't mind.
If you have any other questions, I'm going to text you Lisa Kudrow's phone number so you can call her and ask her anytime you want.
He's not going to do that. I'm sorry. He really won't.
We'll start casting the male model soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Nicole. Appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. I totally have been there.
Yeah, me too, where you're looking to see, like, oh, maybe this time.
Oh, and just like...
Ooh, did that mean? Ooh, he actually offered me some water when I was choking. I think he cares more than he even knows. He doesn't even know.
Or like, the elaborate, oh, I was like a gift. I don't know. I did think that money could buy you love.
You did?
My actions seem to suggest that. What with the ice cream bars.
Hello.
Hello.
Steven. Hi.
Hello, friends.
Hello. You're not going to even believe the friends you have.
Wait until you find out which friends you have with us tonight. We have Anna here, Anna Faris, of course.
Hello.
Jessica Cabot, who is the creator and writer of the Refinery 29 series called Shitty Boyfriends, is also here.
Ooh.
As is Lisa Kudrow. She's also here with us tonight.
Hi.
Wow. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for submitting a question, and I can already tell you're a kindred spirit.
So, Stephen, your fiancé doesn't understand why you feel the need to keep flying back home to see your family. Tell us a little more, and hopefully we can help you.
Sure. Pretty much that in a nutshell. We moved down here to Atlanta from Connecticut about 3 years ago and for her job. And it's been great. I absolutely love it down here, the weather, the people. It's a good time. But I try to get home to see my family as much as possible because I have a brother that just had a baby. She's 8 months old. I just FaceTimed her tonight. She's just about ready to walk. And have all these other cousins that have little kids, and I just love being the fun uncle, the funkle, as I call myself. And it's fun getting home to see them as much as possible, but a lot of times whenever the discussion comes up of booking flights again, every 3 to 4 months is usually what I try to do. She kind of hesitates because of money or is wondering why I'm such a mama's boy, having to go home and see my mom all the time, and she loves my family. She loves seeing them. She loves hanging out with them when we go home, but she doesn't understand why I want to go home as often as most people down here who have moved that maybe go home maybe just twice a year or once a year. I kind of want to do it every four months-ish. So.
I got to tell you, I think you sound amazing.
Sounds
I know.
Reasonable.
You sound fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the other part of the story?
Yeah, I mean
that you're not telling us.
But so... Okay. All right. So she gets upset and you say it's about 3 to 4 months you go home.
Maybe even every three months. So I went home in Christmas and I was going to go home again in May for my bachelor weekend because we're getting married in August. And I kind of planned a last minute flight here in a couple of weeks in March, kind of impromptu, and dropped about $300 on a flight. And we're trying to save for a honeymoon and for a wedding. And if you really have to go home again, well, 3 months, like you just went home and saw them, like, can't you stretch it out a little more to May? And I'm like, no, I want to see everybody. And she's like, okay, all right, fine.
So does she normally Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, Stephen. Go on.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, does she normally doesn't go with you on these trips?
She will go with me most of the time. There'll be maybe one or two trips out of the four or five that we take in a year where I'll go by myself, just because she has work and her family's much smaller than mine, and they don't hang out as much as my family does. So she's okay with going 5 or 6 months, not going home. And so, like, this trip coming up in March will be just me, and which is fine because it's only one flight instead of two. But if the two of us go and, you know, she comes with us, it costs obviously double the money. So right. I think it's mostly financial, I think, but also the constant connection I have with my mom and dad. And my, you know, I call my mom mm-hmm. probably 3-4 times a week, and mm-hmm. she can go weeks without talking to her mom. But when they do talk, it's everything is normal, just like me and my mom. So it's not that they don't like each other or anything. It's just the connection isn't as close.
Well, okay. I've got lots and lots and lots of thoughts here. Sim and I both come from really close families, and it has been threatening to some of our romantic partners in the past. And the sad truth is that the families have always won mm-hmm. because that's just sort of the sad yeah. truth of, I mean, not sad. It's wonderful. It's wonderful because, but when your partner in life asks you to make that kind of choice, that's not fair. It's not fundamentally fair. Now, having said that, you don't necessarily have to say that to your fiance, but you could say, here's my pitch. What you could say is, baby, I love my family so much. I love you so much. Right now, before we get married, before we have babies, I want to see them a little bit, and I miss them, and I love you so much, and I can't wait to start a family with you or whatever. I don't know if that's your journey, but I'm just pitching ideas here.
No, it's pretty accurate.
But until then, because once, you know, we start having kids, our lives will be completely different. But right now I really feel a strong need to be a part of, you know, my niece and nephews or cousins' lives. And that's really, really important to me. And I hope that one of the reasons you're attracted to me is because I love being around kids and I love being a part of their lives. And, you know, I'm going to do my best to be a great dad and a great husband. And I hope you understand that this is really important to me.
Now, since you guys can relate to me in that sense now, so flash forward 5 to 7 years, will I be doing the same thing in 5 to 7 years, or will I have settled in more down here a decade later? And will the flights and going home kind of reduce itself
over time,
say?
It'll reduce itself, but here's what will happen, especially if you guys have kids. They'll come down more to see you, especially like your parents. And that will be also a different kind of journey for your wife, because especially for women, the relationships with their husband's parents are really tricky, because there's sort of a unconscious sort of power struggle with that whole thing. And so it'll shift, but I do think that it is not, it's tricky territory that she's entering into. And maybe you can say, you know, it's all about timing. You can say, honey, listen, I know that money is a concern. We've got a lot of expenses coming up and everything, but I don't know if money is the full issue here. And I just want to lay everything out on the table. And I just want to tell you that I want the world. I want you. I want kids. I want
right.
my family. I want it all. And I want to be able to see them four to five times a year, maybe more.
Lisa, am I a mama's boy?
I know. I've been talking too much.
No, you've been saying good things. You know, I mean, I don't have anywhere near the same issues, because my in-laws live in another country, My parents live 2 miles away. My whole family does, and so we don't ever have to spend money on going. But
you sound wonderful. You're not a mama's boy.
No, my husband calls his mother every day to say hello.
Okay, so then we're on the same page. So you experience the same thing she's experiencing here, then, because I do that. I talked to her today. I helped her book a flight down here today, ironically. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think it should be a wonderful thing that you're close with your family, because it's a, you know, that's a good sign, usually.
Sim but just got weaned from his mother's breast, not 3 years ago?
I'm not going to comment on that.
But how long have you and your fiancé been together?
About 6.5, 7 years, and we're getting married in August.
Oh, so she knows she's from Connecticut, too?
Yeah, we moved here for her job. We were dating through college, and then after college, working a bit, and then we moved here about 3 years ago for her job, and I proposed last August, getting married this coming August.
So when you go see your family, she could see her family too, because they're there also?
Yes, and that's what we usually do. We'll split. If we're there for 4 days, we'll do usually 2.5 days with my family, a day and a half with her family.
Right.
But then I have a lot of friends I'm still connected with. She made a lot of new friends down here, and I'm connected more with a lot of my friends back home.
Oh, why is that?
So when I go by my, I don't know. I think it's because she kind of got into new things when she finished college, and when she came down here, she just connected with a lot of the new people here, where with sports and with a lot of my buddies from back home, we stayed connected through sports, you know, fantasy football leagues and things like that. So when I go home without her, I'll try to visit them the one time a year that she doesn't come with me. I'll go and see them. Like, I'm meeting with a bunch of people this time because she's not with me. I'll go to the bar with them one day, or then go to, you know, something else another day with these other guys, because I don't see them the other times we come home, because we split it with family, basically the whole trip.
Well, so Chris and I, we grew up in the same area. We didn't know each other, but we both moved to LA roughly around the same time, but we didn't meet till 2007. And when I first met him, he was going home all the time. And I had severed, besides my closeness with my family, a lot of ties there. I didn't have any friends, but he was constantly like every, maybe even more than, I felt like every 3 weeks, he was going back and visiting all his old buddies. He didn't have that many friends here in LA. He was very much tied to Seattle and that area. And because I didn't have that many friends, I just didn't feel the same thing. And it felt like, what do you, you know, why do you, you know, we were too sort of early on in our dating for me to, I was sort of good about like not revealing my insecurities. At least I thought I was. I don't know.
Why are you going away? Why are you here with me?
But it's different now. And we have a kid, and you know, so I do think when you ask your question about 5-10 years from now, it will totally change.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm also wondering, are you making friends in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of our friends are mutual friends, because she works with a lot of females at her job. She works for Carter's. They make the baby clothes. I'm sure, Anna, you've...
Oh, I love Carter's.
A lot of those.
Carter's.
Yeah, so...
Carter's.
Yeah,
our new sponsor, Andres Unqualified.
What's that brand again?
Carter's Baby Clothes.
Carter's. From Atlanta.
What a perfect fit.
If you have any shoes or socks or hats, any of the accessories, that's what her job is to kind of buy those and put them out into the store. So she has a lot of friends that she works with there, and their husbands and boyfriends or fiancés I've met through her friends and coworkers. And thankfully, a lot of them, almost all of them, have been really fun. So, you know, it could have been awkward where you meet, you know, your fiancé's coworker's husband, and he's a total douche, but he ends up being really nice. So that's helpful.
Well, listen, it sounds to me like you guys, you sound incredibly level-headed. I don't want you to feel like you have to give up your home. I think when the timing is right, kind of explain to her, listen, things are going to change, but right now I want to be close to this while I can, because I know that we're going to have a family and things are going to be different in the future. So give me a pass on this. I will also say one final thought, though, too, is that planning a wedding, that time is so stressful. And it brings up all kinds of shit. It's like shit that you didn't even know, like what was going on, and brings out weirdness in everybody involved. So don't forget about that. That it just happens to be the period between engagement and wedding is a really rough one that nobody that's it's easy to dismiss.
Right.
So
well, Anna, you know what? One of the one thing that we're haven't. Done yet. We've got everything done, flowers, food, venue. The one thing we haven't signed yet.
No way. No way.
Is what?
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Mike, our technical producer, just had to lower the volume because I freaked out so much. Well, so I've been telling everyone, Lisa, that so I'm a
You're
minister.
Ordained?
Yeah.
I just knew that was, as soon as he said the one thing we haven't done, I knew that was happening. Smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta's the new Los Angeles, so if you're down here for filming or anything, August 20th.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know how unqualified I am. But you do know that I love attention. So if there's any way I can make your wedding all about me, I would just love to. Oh my God. I'm getting beet red right now. You should see my face.
She's really excited, Stephen. That is completely made her nut.
All right. Well, listen, Kim, will you please be in touch? And listen, don't give up, You can have it all. You can have your wonderful family and a wonderful fiance and wife and kids.
Thank you. And I love the podcast. I've only been listening for a week. I came over when Adam Carolla was there. I'm a Carolla fan. And I listened to the one episode and I said, this is really good. And
oh, good.
Downloaded another one. And I subscribed and I've listened to all of them in a week.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now I'm on the show. So,
oh, my God.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
That's been and you asked me to officiate your wedding without your fiance's permission. This is the best night of my life.
I already mentioned that I was going to ask this question. And she's like, hell yeah, Anna can officiate.
No way. Oh, my God. I love her. Oh, I'm totally on her side. Do not see your family ever again. It's too expensive.
Exactly. There is no issue. He made up the whole, I love my family too much. And it's like maybe the money. Maybe.
All right. Well, listen, you got me all giddy. Let's please be in touch. Stephen, thank you so much.
Stephen, thanks a lot.
And congratulations on
everything.
Thank you,
guys. Love you.
Love
Appreciate
you, too.
It.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
I can't. I was like, this is genuine excitement.
I felt like he proposed to me.
He did. He proposed that you marry him and his fiance.
Can you imagine? I'd be the worst.
I don't think they really have a problem.
If I ever get married, will you also do mine?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, please.
Well, let's see how she does with Stephen's.
Okay, sure.
So now. The reason I got ordained was because I was just hoping that someone would ask.
Like, really?
Yeah, like... Maybe if I actually like signed up, like somebody might ask, because, you know, normally the normal path is like, hey, would you marry us? Would you mind getting ordained or whatever? But I was proactive.
you got ordained before anyone asked you.
2007.
Oh, you've been waiting a long time.
No, exactly. Until tonight. And now I got two invites.
That's amazing.
Lisa.
I'm already married.
What about like a renewal ceremony?
A renewal ceremony. We barely do Valentine's Day or our anniversary. But sure.
But you saw the magic tonight.
I did.
How much joy.
You're very nice.
Love that, yeah. Like, project.
No, you're so sweet with everyone who calls and patient and
oh,
nice.
Oh, just wait.
And
I go upstairs and I start stabbing the wall.
All right, we're gonna segue now from this love and marriage and to shitty boyfriends.
Oh.
It's a pretty good segue. There's a new show that's out on a website called Refinery 29 that you created.
Mm-hmm. And it's so
Lisa
fucking
is
funny.
Executive producing. Mm-hmm. It's called Shitty Boyfriends. Tell us what it's about.
Oh, well, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's really, really funny.
And, oh, good.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, Jessica. Will you tell us what it's about?
Oh, no. It's I interned for Lisa a long time. We both went to Vassar, which is how I got connected to her.
100 years apart.
No, no. And I was really fortunate to work for her. It was like a really great experience. And then after that, I dated a lot of shitty guys, I guess. I don't know. I had experiences that were less than positive. And
well, because you're like a normal young woman in your 20s.
Yeah.
Right. And I
dealing
really,
with normal young men in their 20s.
I really, really wanted a boyfriend also. So I was a little
trying to make a bad thing work.
Yeah. I was a little bit trying to do that. So, but things would happen. And I, we worked with a guy named Kyle. He's at Lisa's office. Yeah. And I stayed in touch with him. And he had read one of my blog posts about some Valentine's Days that I had experienced. And he's like, you should turn this into something and ride the Lena Dunham wave, was his words. So one day I just kind of wrote like a little packet of like dates that I had experienced, and Lisa read it, and I think she seemed to enjoy it enough to pitch it to this.
Well, you're incredibly talented. You're really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
thanks.
What's also amazing about the show is how vulnerable you are, and it really is kind of like everyone's story. And, I we've all been there. All right. Well, listen, Sim is giving me, it's super complicated. It's hard to interpret.
I know. I didn't know what was happening.
He puts his index finger into the air and he swirls it around. And what that is, that's our secret code for
what? I wonder.
Well, wrapping it up, which you would think you would do more of sort of like, I'm going to wrap up a present motion and tie a bow.
I mean, I thought, oh, that's that sign I've seen on shows a lot of times, meaning wrap it up. But I don't know what it means
here. That was really awkward, wasn't it? It wasn't very graceful.
Sim was just having a small spasm.
Yeah.
You should well, it's better than him saying, wrap it up.
That's true. But she always calls me out on it, too.
Yeah, fuck you, Sim.
There we go.
I know. It wouldn't, you know, but I say it with love.
Now you're happy.
Fuck you, Sim.
There it is again.
Was that more, I'm trying to say loving.
I like the delivery on that one.
Sim, fuck you.
That was the best one yet.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, it was really alluring.
Lisa, Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everyone out there, please check out Jessica Cabot's new incredible show called Shitty Boyfriends.
Yeah, it's good.
On Refinery
21?
91? 29. I was almost
there. Refinery 29.
Refinery 29. Wow.
And,
whoa. You know what? Can we just blame Steven for asking me to officiate his wedding?
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
You're
so I know. You still haven't recovered.
I'm like... Oh. What am I going to do? I'm in Atlanta a lot.
I would say don't get his hopes up by continuing to talk about it.
What if it's like the best experience
to do
of
it.
My life? I mean,
right. It sounds like she wants to do it.
You have mine too to do it. Find that person. All
right.
But his is imminent.
Yeah. I know. That's true.
You've got time. It's not till August you can come up with, you know, have them write their vows, first of all.
No.
And then you have nothing.
No, I'm going to write their vows.
Oh.
Lisa, do you not know me at all?
Shitty Boyfriends, Refinery 29. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Unqualified and on Facebook. What else, Claire?
And also, wait, one last thing. Lisa is starting up Who Do You Think You Are Again?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, in March.
March. And you're the producer. You're the executive producer of
that
show.
I produce
that.
I produce Shitty Boyfriends.
Wow.
You produce lots.
I do, it turns out.
I feel like, well, I want you to produce me.
All right.
I don't know
I'd
what that means.
To.
I just had a weird visual of like me coming out of your vagina.
Too. That's what I saw too. All right, wait. I said all right.
Good night, everyone.